Is there a list?
Somewhere, I'm sure.
It's under the book of mine.
It's leather bound, it's nice. Good evening.
Hello.
We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 28. Before we begin, though, let's ask for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, for your Son, for the sacrifice that he gave on the cross, willingly going to take the punishment that we so richly deserve. Pray for the message tonight. Pray that it reaches those that you would have it reach. Thank you for everybody here. And just ask that you bless this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 28. We are finishing up the book this evening, God willing. Paul was writing to the church which the Lord had established through Paul and to which Paul had had to leave far sooner than he would have liked. By now, we should know why Paul was writing. He had received a positive report from Timothy regarding the congregation there. Paul's desire was very clearly spelled out that he wished to be among them. But barring that, he sent instructions and encouragement through this epistle. As we read through, we should recognize that this is a very Pauline closing to the letter. God's will for the life of a believer is their sanctification, which brings honor and glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 28. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Paul's prayer for them is for God to sanctify them completely, so that when Christ returns, they would be preserved blameless. So tonight, what we're really going to be focusing on and really talking through is our sanctification as modern believers. The will of God is for our, that is, Christians, to be sanctified. Not just sanctification, but their complete sanctification, our complete sanctification. Now, that's not going to happen until the day of the Lord, but it is something that as Christians we need to be working on. Verse 23, I'm just going to read it again. Now, may the Lord of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that Paul here is writing to believers, the elect, those who were called to salvation. If we flip back a little farther in 1 Thessalonians to chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, we read, "Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Those who are among the elect were chosen before the foundation of the world. He calls, that is, God calls, and then those who were chosen respond. One thing that is often overlooked by us, and should not be, is that the initiating will in salvation is God's will and not ours. That is why it is called getting saved. We were hopeless sinners, dead to Christ and alive in our sins. God, through his mercy and grace, chose us and saved us. Paul's closing is a reminder of these important truths, worth remembering, that have been addressed in various ways throughout the epistle. He reminds them that the ultimate issue, aside from glorifying God and yet linked to it, is that the will of God is for our sanctification. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? The word, quite simply, means to be set apart or to be made holy. As a Christian, with the help of the Holy Spirit, this is what we should be striving to do, what we have been called to do. When we are saved, there is a profound change that starts within us. It started before the earth was formed, when we accept the free will offering of salvation that God gives to us. We are changed in that moment, born again as a child of God. Now, I've said many times before that it does not end with that acceptance. Christ has started a good work in us, but it will not be complete until the day of the Lord. This, however, does not mean that we are not to be working on our sanctification until that day comes. We as finite, sinful human beings oftentimes have difficulty accepting those things that we are to be doing as one who is born again. I see it in terms of our election, God choosing us for salvation rather than we choosing our salvation. We accept it, but it is God that offers it through his saving grace, the gift, the free gift of our salvation, which we either accept or reject. I also see it in our responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hear the same arguments every time. Well, if God has chosen me to be saved, I don't have to do anything in terms of perfecting myself, because when he returns, all of that is going to be taken care of for me. We must not fall into that type of thinking. In Romans 6, verse 18, Paul reminds us, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." God does a lot in our salvation, but we do have a role to play after we are saved. What we do does not save us except for our acceptance, but the proof of our election is in the works that follow our salvation. That is our assurance. Now, some would say, well, if God has already chose who he is going to save, does it really matter if I share the gospel or not? It does, actually. We are not only to share the gospel at every opportunity, we should pray for those opportunities and for boldness when we share the good news. The Bible tells us we are to work on our sanctification, and the Bible tells us that we are to share the good news. Not only are we called to share the good news, we are also called to be strong in our walk with Christ. The stronger our walk, the stronger our witness. If we love God, then it should thrill our souls that we can be of use to him. He does not need us at all to carry out his will, but our desire should be to serve him, the one and true living God, because as we serve him, we are working on our sanctification, and his will for our lives is our sanctification. Again, I remind us that in sharing the gospel, it is never we who save. It is only God. God calls, God gives faith, but the believer must respond. A hard truth that we must face as sinners is that we are not God, though oftentimes we try to be. In John 6, verse 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Christ offers the free gift of our salvation. Our role as believers is to respond to it, and that is more than just praying a prayer or holding your mouth right. God, if you belong to him, there should be indicators in your life. There should be indicators in my life that I can point to. When God saved us, that change happened and we became his. For some, they can name the exact date, the exact time, and where it happened. But not everyone can do that, and that is okay. I can't give you an exact date for myself. It was sometime during the spring of my sophomore year, and God had been working on me for a very long time. He called, and I responded. As believers, God calls us, and we respond. When God saves us, we are set apart from sin and set apart from the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. We are just passing through. The question that we have to constantly ask ourselves is, where are we in our walk with God? Are we working on our sanctification? Or is it something that we rarely think about? Are we turning away from the sin that is in our lives and towards holiness? Because as Christians, that is what we have been called to do. You don't just coast as a Christian. And yet I've talked to people who claim to be saved, who claim to be children of God, and yet there is very little evidence in their lives. They may be saved. It is very difficult to be able to know about anyone's salvation but our own. And yet these are people who have no evidence in their lives, in their example. And you contrast that with somebody who is living for God, really on fire for the Lord, and there's such a stark contrast between the two. Our salvation in Christ saves us from our sin. And for some people, they are content or seemingly content to stop right there. But it does not and should not end there. We are set apart from our sin, and that makes us holy in God's sight. But what is missed is the fact that we are also called to be holy in this life. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, the Bible says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind to be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Wow. We can't do that on our own. God is at work in our sanctification, in our working towards being obedient to Christ. We need to make sure that God is not the only one that is working. We are to work on our relationship with the Lord. We are to be disgusted with the sin that is present in our lives, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, be striving every single day on rooting that out. Just agreeing to certain truths within God's Word is not salvation. As Pastor said earlier, it has to be complete surrender. Surrender of our lives, holding nothing back. Do not be one of those Christians who is on fire for God every Sunday morning, but only every Sunday morning. When we leave here this evening, do not leave God here. In Luke 14:27, we read, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." When we are saved, we first recognize that the wages of sin is death and that we are all sinners. For some, that is a difficult truth to accept. For others, not so much. Then we need to recognize that Jesus is the only path that leads to salvation. If we believe that he came to this earth as God incarnate, lived a sinless life, was put to death upon the cross for our sins, and rose again 3 days later because his sacrifice was acceptable to God. If we put our faith, our trust, our lives in him, then we are saved. But it is not what we do that matters, except for our acceptance of these truths. The evidence of that truth in our lives is our love and willingness to pick up our cross and to follow him, to pick up our cross and serve. When we present the gospel, we need to be clear. We need to be consistent. In Mark 8, verses 34 and 35, it says, "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.'" We need to make sure that each and every day we are denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. The problem that we have is that we are still sinners and we still sin. We must recognize that we are no longer slaves to sin, however. We must not just use that as a pass and say, "Well, there is sin in my life, but I am a sinner and I am forgiven, so that is okay." We must confess our sins to God. We must continue to fight against that sin. And we must recognize that we are still going to sin, but we must not live in our sin, and we must not give up the fight against that sin. And that is a very difficult battle to fight. I remember back when I was first saved and how exciting and excited it was to live each and every day for Christ. And here I am 20 plus years down the road from that, and I find that there are times when it seems easier to get complacent and to get discouraged because I've been at this fight for so long and yet I still sin. We must find the balance between not getting discouraged in our sin, but recognizing it and confessing it in repentance to God, and then moving on. Now, some of us have no problem confessing our sins to God. It's the moving on part that is difficult. We need to constantly remind ourselves the victories over sin that we have had with the help of the Holy Spirit, and then strive to have more of them. We need to make sure, not only that we're doing that in our own lives, but that we are praying for one another. And not just for sanctification or holiness, but for everything else. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul's prayer directed towards God's church are for peace, high character, that they know the will of God, purity of life, love for the brethren, the promise of Christ's return, rejoicing, thankfulness, discerning, that they concern themselves with the focus of their public worship and for their complete sanctification, just to name a few. We all need to be praying for one another. It cannot just be the role and duty of the pastors or of the deacons. And I know that there are people in this congregation that pray. Our sanctification is God's will for our lives. It's God's will for our lives in Christ. These things we have been asked, not asked to do. It is not suggested by God that we work on these things. It has been commanded by God. God has commanded us to do these things, and we cannot accomplish that task without Him. If we try to do it without Him, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we will fail. But what a tremendous blessing that is. We are not alone. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit and set apart by God. Because we are set apart, we can partake in and be blessed by the fruit of the Spirit. Now, where does the fruit of the Spirit come from? From God. It is something that we can... Is it something that we can work on? No, it is not. Not directly. We strive to work on our sanctification and in our relationship with God, and God blesses for that. But we do not do that on our own. Don't try to work on long-suffering. Believe me, I have tried. It does not work if it is just me. Pray about it in your relationship with God. Ask for His help. You know, oftentimes we seem to forget that we have not because we ask not. Galatians 22:23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul focuses on peace in our scripture tonight. God is called the God of peace. Do we have that peace? Paul does not just pray for their sanctification. He prays that they will be completely sanctified. Every single part. We must make sure that we do not miss that point. Through and through, the whole person, the whole church, completely sanctified. Everyone in here, myself included, needs to be fighting along with the Holy Spirit against those things in our lives that are contrary to God. It should trouble us, make us uncomfortable, make us ache. One of the things that we need to guard against as Christians, in this country especially, is getting complacent with the sin that is in our lives. We live very comfortably in this country. The Holy Spirit should convict us, and that is our cue to act. If we are living in sin and there is nothing bothering us about that, there is a serious problem there. If we are not troubled by our sins, if it does not bother us, then we have a problem. We can acknowledge that we are sinners and not be bothered to do anything about it. if we are not bothered by our sin, I would question very hard whether or not I am a child of God at all. You see, the lost have no hope. If we are set apart by God, we can rejoice because we know that our struggle with sin is not in vain and that one day we will struggle no more. When we frame the day of the Lord through the lens of our current struggle with sin, we can look on that day with hope and eager anticipation. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. If there is sin in our lives, we need to confess it and strive to eliminate it. We must not lose heart, but continue to plead with God to work with us on our sanctification. He will. That is His desire for our lives. We need to make sure that our sanctification is our desire for our lives as well. We know that God is faithful, and what God has promised to do, He will accomplish. And Paul knew that too. We can and should work with the indwelling Spirit on our sanctification, not because it saves us, but because the holy, just, loving, and faithful God has commanded us to do it. In thinking this past week about God's faithfulness, I was reminded of that wonderful hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And Pastor will tell you, he and I did not talk about it, but I am happy that it was included in the music earlier. Just a tremendous hymn. The lyrics are amazing. "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We are sanctified by God's grace. We are saved by God's grace, and we need to reflect that grace towards our brothers and sisters, just as Paul did. We have a tendency to think, or at least I do, maybe I'm the only one, that I deserve grace and long-suffering, and yet oftentimes we fail to show it to those around us. How do we respond to God's grace? How do we work on our sanctification that we have been commanded to do? Always, 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 with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to forsake sin. We need to turn towards Christ. We need to accept the grace of salvation if we have not done that already. In order to do that, we must know Christ. Not just in passing, but know Him because we have a relationship with Him, because we have given our entire lives to Him. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we can help. If you think you do but are not sure, I would invite you to come and talk to us. Paul's desire, as he was writing to the church, was the will of God for them, and that was for their complete sanctification. One day, and we do not know when that day is, that will happen. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we ready for that day? Grace and peace be with you. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your message. I thank you for your word. I thank you for Paul. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and the wonderful, wonderful truths that came from all of them. Pray tonight, Father, that this message changes us, makes us different going out than who we were coming in. Help it to renew us, to recharge us. Just the reminder that you are present in our lives, not just on Sunday mornings, Father, but each and every single day. Help us to work on our sanctification. Help us to be the Christian that you would have us to be while we are here, as we eagerly wait for Christ's return. We pray these things in his strong name. Amen.